The reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, reading from verses 19 to 31. If you would like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you will find it on page 1099. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Ken. He always reads with such authority and power. Lord, we thank you that we can read this passage this morning and reflect on it together. Thank you for your word that is life and breath to us. We pray that there'll be something that you would say to us now that would remain with us and encourage us as we seek to live for you during this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start this morning with a quote from someone called Frederick Buchner, who said this: "Whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts, you are either kidding yourself or asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving." I wonder what you think to that particular quotation. Thomas has rather a hard time as a disciple. Here was someone who followed Jesus, presumably fairly diligently, for 3 years. And yet the one thing that he's remembered for is hesitating to believe the seemingly impossible. We call him Doubting Thomas. Because here he was asking for proof that his friends hadn't completely lost the plot when they claimed that Jesus really was alive and had popped in to see them. I don't want to be too hard on Thomas this morning. In fact, I don't know about you, but I'm really grateful that John has included this little excerpt in his gospel, because it adds to the humanity and the authenticity of the gospel story. When John writes, "These stories of Jesus are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name," I think that call to belief is given added weight by the way in which Jesus puts up with and accepts the frailties of his followers. It makes following Christ for us that bit more achievable as we look at the other disciples. The arrogance and the impetuousness and the unreliability of Simon Peter. The pride and ambition of James and John. The questioning of Thomas. All these things help us to recognize that our weakness is no bar to friendship with Jesus. And so for a few minutes we're going to explore this theme of doubt this morning under three headings. First of all, seeing is believing, the story of the disciples. Not seeing is not believing, the story of Thomas. And then not seeing yet still believing, which is the call to us sometimes. Seeing is believing then. How incredible it must have been on that first Easter evening in that upper room. The disciples weren't short of conversation topics on that particular evening. The events of the previous week were still very much etched upon their minds. And they had those breathless tales of sightings of the risen Lord from Peter, from John, from Mary Magdalene. They were elated at these encounters with the risen Christ and debating together what could possibly happen next. What surprise awaited them? At the same time, they were fearful that at any moment there might be a knock on the door and the Jewish leaders would come in a delegation baying for blood. And in the midst of a locked room, Jesus himself appears. And not once but twice reassures them with those words, "Peace be with you." Confirming his identity then by showing his hands and his sides. Seeing is believing. No wonder they were overjoyed. And for many of us, there have been times when we've seen God clearly at work and faith has been built up within us. Maybe we've seen or experienced God's healing. Maybe we've observed a life being transformed or seen transformation in our own life situation. Maybe in worship or just as we've been living our life day by day, we've been so aware of the tangible presence of God and joy has erupted from within. Well, that's the easy part of faith in one sense, isn't it? When everything is going swimmingly, to be reveled in. Seeing is believing. But Thomas wasn't there. His friends could make all the claims that they wanted. But like many people today, not seeing is not believing. The cry is, "I need proof." How can you believe in an all-loving, all-knowing God you cannot see? One of the questions of a cynical and sceptical society. And so Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And to be honest, I don't blame him. Having spent these last few years with the other disciples, he knew that they weren't totally trustworthy. Maybe they were just playing a practical joke on him. And whoever heard of a man rising from the dead? Well, I suppose it was Lazarus. But here was Thomas, who put faith in Jesus in the first place. He'd been called to leave his day job, whatever that was, the gospel writers don't tell us, to follow this travelling preacher and miracle worker. And he'd stuck with him through the various challenges and the opposition. So he wasn't exactly a shrinking violet. And so for me, the mark of Thomas's response to resurrection is an honest seeking and a questioning. It's almost as if he doesn't quite dare to believe. It seems just too good to be true, these claims that the other disciples are making. I was reading of a church yesterday who, as part of their regular program of activities, they held something called a doubt night, where people were encouraged to come along and to write down the things that they struggled with or had difficulty accepting as part of the Christian faith. It was a sort of coming out party for doubters. And the idea was that they'd write these things down and then they were all perhaps brought to the front and acknowledged and then handed over to God. And if we're totally honest with ourselves, there are times when doubts arise within us. It may be a very fleeting doubt. You know, what if all this isn't true? A sort of doubt that flies into land and then disappears as quickly as it's arrived. Might be the sort of question Thomas had. You know, is this resurrection thing really true? It might be a doubting of our salvation. It might be doubting perhaps whether God even exists as we observe suffering in the world or in our lives. It might be more of a consuming doubt, an all-consuming doubt, a nagging doubt that just won't seem to go away, one that gets us down. And many celebrated Christians down the ages have had long periods of doubt and darkness and unknowing. St. John of the Cross wrote of a dark night of the soul. And yet we're in Easter season. And in the midst of the Easter season, it's easy to present a triumphalistic message. Christ is risen, so everything's okay. And yet that can jar sometimes, can't it? Because everything isn't always okay. Our lives might not be full of good things at this point in time. And so we can be left feeling somewhat inadequate. Let's just pause for a moment and just think about our own lives, our own situations, and ask ourselves, where is the doubt in our lives at this time? It may not be there for everyone. But where does doubt come into our faith and walk with God? Acknowledging that doubt in itself isn't wrong. We've got no control over a doubt entering our minds. But it's what we do with it that matters. So just think for a few moments. And so for the disciples, seeing is believing. For Thomas, not seeing is not believing. And then we come to this idea of not seeing and yet still believing. It was easy for Thomas in the end. Ultimately, Thomas does come face to face with the risen Christ. He has this jaw-dropping encounter where he's able to see and touch his risen Saviour, who calls him to stop doubting and believe, causing Thomas to respond in ecstasy and submission, "My Lord and my God." But then come Jesus' words, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So Thomas had it easy. Jesus appears before him. There's incontrovertible evidence of the resurrection, and seeing leads to believing. But it takes a lot more, doesn't it, to put faith in Christ without such clear-cut evidence. And yet that is the call to us as believers today. Trusting in God, choosing to follow Christ, is an act of faith. We don't have the privilege of seeing Jesus in the flesh right in front of our eyes. We rely on other factors. We do have his message. We do have the witness of many who've gone before us. We do have our own experience. We do have his Holy Spirit present with us. And so we make a choice. We take a step of faith. Sonia spoke of that choice last Sunday in that fantastic Easter celebration service. But it's not just a one-off choice. It's that choice we make daily. "Today, Lord, I will follow whatever life throws at me." And I'm very aware for some people here, life has thrown the kitchen sink at you in recent months. Sickness, unemployment, bereavement, financial struggles, depression, family breakup, the list goes on. And in the midst of all of those things crowding in, whichever one might impact you, you may not feel God especially close. You may be in a position where you're not seeing. And in that situation, we each have a choice. Not seeing, yet still believing. And God honours us in that. And so back to that quote from the beginning. If you don't have any doubts, you're either kidding yourself or asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of our faith. They keep it awake and moving. And surely we want our faith to be awake and moving. So let's not be afraid to acknowledge our doubts to ourselves, to one another, in home groups, in prayer triplets, discipleship triads, in conversation. And let's wrestle with them honestly. For that expresses an active decision to trust. It's a choice we make. And as we do doubt, if we doubt our salvation, let's come back to God's word. the one who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If we're doubting God's presence, let's hear his, Jesus' words, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. The enemy would have us consumed by doubt, weighed down and defeated. But let's not give him that satisfaction. In Mark chapter 9, a man brings his demon-possessed son to Jesus and cries out to Jesus to heal him. And Jesus tells him, everything is possible for those who believe. And the man responds, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And that to me sums up our response to doubts that do creep in, doubts that may consume. In the midst of them, asking for God's help, choosing to believe, asking our Lord to help us to overcome. And so in a few moments, we're going to express the words of the Creed. Now, as we say these words week by week, sometimes you might struggle with them. There might be doubts that creep in. But again, it's an active choice where we're saying, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. So let's stand together and we're going to use these words from the Creed. And then from there, we're going to move on and sing a song which reminds us of the resurrection of Christ and the way in which the cross stands over all of our lives. And so let us declare our faith as God's people. We believe in God, the Father, who created the world and everything in it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who came to our world as its Saviour. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is the faith of all Christians in all times and in all places. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so let's worship God in song. And if you know you're in that situation today where there are things that are weighing you down, the doubts that are coming in, and you just really value someone to pray with you at the end of the service, do take that opportunity. For it's in fellowship together as we support one another that we're at our strongest. Beyond this lifetime, beyond this darkness, there's light. Your cross is shining, so people, open your eyes. Thank you.